and turn to the second chapter of the book of Song of Solomon. We're going to read one verse here, and then we're going to go to another text. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. As soon as I read this verse, most of you are going to remember about 15 years ago, I think most of you will anyway, about 15 years ago, Brother Godfrey preached a message about from this verse, and very unforgettable message. He's a very, very good preacher and very colorful preacher, and I think that's one of the reasons why it stuck with me and probably stuck with you. But I want to preach a message along those same lines. It's been 15 years since he preached that message, and I don't remember what his points were, but I remember that this was a very good message to preach from this verse, and I'd like to basically preach it again with my own points. Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 15. The Bible says, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." How many remember that message? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Several of us. All right. I thought some of you would remember. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that is here this morning. Father, I pray that you bless this message. Help me as I preach it, that you would give me the words to say. Father, I pray that you would help each one of your people here this morning to look into their lives and see where their lives do not match up with the Word of God and with Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we would do business with you today, that we would humble ourselves before you and get right with you where we need to repent. Father, I pray that you would challenge us and encourage us. Also, Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, Father, I pray that they would understand the gospel today, that they need a Savior. I pray that they would make that decision for you today. Bless now your word and your people. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Song of Solomon has two major applications. The first major application, of course, is the relationship between a husband and wife, and the love that they are supposed to have for one another. And of course, this verse applies to that situation. But the second major application of the book of Song of Solomon is what I want to focus on this morning, and that is the love that Jesus Christ has, the bridegroom. He is the bridegroom. And the love that Jesus Christ has for his bride. And we are to have a love for Jesus Christ as well in return. Okay? Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Turn, please, to John chapter 15. What is this vine that we're talking about here this morning, that this passage is referring to? What vine in my life do I need to be watching out for? John chapter 15. Looking at verse 1 through 6. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." The love that Jesus Christ has for his church. Who is the church this morning? Who makes up the church? The believers. The believers. Those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior make up the believers. So the love that Jesus Christ has for His church is to you and to me. To you and to me. So the book of the Song of Solomon illustrates the love that Jesus Christ has to you and the love that Jesus Christ has to me if we know Him as our Savior this morning. And that vine, take us the foxes, the little foxes, excuse me, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. What vine is that? Well, here in John chapter 15, we see that Jesus Christ is the true vine. He is the branch, stalk, if you will, that each one of us have been grafted into. So that little vine that Song of Solomon is talking about is us as a branch off of the true vine, Jesus Christ. We are a branch who is supposed to be bearing fruit off of the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our little branch, our little vine, first of all, this morning, I want you to realize that our little branch, our vine that is grafted into the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are grafted into Christ, our vine is constantly in jeopardy. Our vine is constantly in jeopardy. He says in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Our branch, your life and my life, is constantly in jeopardy. There is a person who wants to destroy my life with Jesus Christ, my communion with Jesus Christ, my fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a person this morning that wants to destroy your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, your communion with Jesus Christ. Your vine is constantly in jeopardy. You say, well, I know who that person is. It is Satan. Well, he does want to destroy your communion with Jesus Christ. He does want to destroy my life, my spiritual life in Christ. But that is not the person who is on the most wanted list. You remember the FBI has a most wanted list, right? And you and I need to have a most wanted list as well. A single list, a list of one. Our most wanted list should comprise of one person. Turn to Romans chapter 7. Who is that wicked, wicked person that wants to destroy my life with Jesus Christ? Who is that terrible person that wants to destroy your spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ? It is not Satan. The number one candidate for destroying my life with Jesus Christ is not Satan. He's the number two candidate. The number one candidate is somebody else. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I am the number one candidate. I am the most wanted list. My flesh, in other words, that the old man, is the number one candidate for destroying my relationship with Jesus Christ. And your old man, your old flesh, your sinful nature is your number one candidate. Should be on your most wanted list for the person who is most likely to destroy your relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. You see, we have an old man, an old sinful nature, and a new man warring against one another. And that old man many times gets the victory in our life. And that which I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And that which I want to do, I find myself not doing. Because it's the old man. It is my flesh who is getting the victory. Turn, please, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Your vine that is growing, that is grafted into the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, is constantly in jeopardy by you. My vine is constantly in jeopardy by me, my old man, my flesh. James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. We are drawn away of ourselves. It is not Satan who is the number one candidate. It is my flesh, your old man, who is the one that is going to destroy your relationship, your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 22. Starting with verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Our old man is corrupt. In him there is nothing good. In him there is only sin. He is sin by nature. Our old man is a wicked, vile thing. And he it is that will destroy my relationship with my Savior. Secondly, first of all, your relationship, your vine that is grafted into Christ is constantly in jeopardy by your old man. Secondly, it is not the big sins, although they would, but it is primarily not big sins that end up destroying your fellowship with the Lord. It is the little foxes. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. You see, it is not the large steps of compromise that we take. We first of all take little steps of compromise. Little steps of compromise. It's the tiny baby steps of disobedience. Well, God will understand in this situation if I don't hold to His word 100%. No, God won't. It is still sin. But it is those tiny baby steps of disobedience that we excuse, saying, there is a good reason why I shouldn't do what God said. And so we compromise, and that's a baby step. That's a step leading away from the Lord. That's a little fox. It is the little scooches. I'll scooch away from God that end up being what leads us all the way away from God. It is the little scooches of unfaithfulness to the Lord in our daily lives that end up destroying our fellowship with the Lord. Nearly all, quote unquote, big sins, nearly all big sins were not committed by a single step of error. Most people did not wake up one morning and they were a normal human being. They did not wake up that morning and decide, I'm going to go kill somebody. No. They probably, first of all, had a video game where they murdered a billion virtual people for days and years and years. And then they could have had some other influence in their life, like, for instance, Islam, that encouraged them to kill people. They did not wake up one morning and decide that I am going to be a murderer. They took steps towards that end. They took little steps of compromise. Our big sins are not committed by a single large error. They are entered into because of the allowance of one small, tiny misdemeanor that we committed one time and we excused, And then we committed it again, and we excused it again. And we committed it again, and we excused it again, and it became easier to excuse. It became easier to excuse this little misdemeanor. And then it became easier to accept a slightly larger misdemeanor. So we're on a downward spiral of allowing a small compromise towards our faith in Christ, a small disobedience to Jesus Christ. And we excused that, and then when something greater came up in our life, we had had no victory before with the little things, and so now we're not going to have victory over this. And we allowed a greater misdemeanor, a greater sin. And we excused the greater sin, and the spiral continues and continues and continues until finally we have found ourselves partaking in the hog slop of a prodigal son. All big sins were not committed by a single step of error. It is the little foxes that spoiled the vine. You see, it is not big grown-up foxes that are the biggest threat. It is not the adult mature sins that are the biggest threat. It's easy to see those sins. It's easy to watch out for those sins. It is the little sins, the little foxes that seem insignificant. This little tiny sin isn't going to be a problem. I can deal with this little sin. It's okay to allow that little compromise, surely. They seem insignificant, but they spoil the vine. They become greater and greater and cause greater and greater damage until our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ is destroyed. There is no fellowship with the Lord anymore. We've allowed sin to ruin our life. These little foxes need to be captured. Turn to, I guess you're probably there, Ephesians 4, verse 25. What are these little foxes in our life that need to be captured, that we need to be watching out for? Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, it gives us a list. Now, this is not a complete list, but this is a pretty good list to start with. And we're going to look at this. And you can do a further Bible study on little foxes that spoil the vine. Ephesians chapter 4, looking at verse 25, starting with verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. These are the little foxes in our life that need to be captured. The first one, lying. Lying to God. We're talking about our relationship with Jesus Christ here this morning. Lying to God is a major offense. Do you remember somebody in the Bible who lied to the Holy Spirit? What were their names? Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to God. They said, we have sold the land for this much money, and we're giving it all to you, Lord. Oh, no, you're not. You have lied to the Holy Ghost. And they died just like that. Now, you and I have not seen someone die just like that. But God made an example of the very first instance in the New Testament where two believers lied to the Holy Ghost. He made an example of them. He said, "This is serious, folks. For the rest of Christianity, this is dead serious." These folks died. And in the time when we stand before Jesus Christ, it will be no less serious than when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost. We probably won't die physically, but God will hold us as accountable as He did them. Put away lying. Do not lie. Put away anger. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What does that mean? Be ye angry and sin not. Well, anger at anyone or anything other than our own sin is hypocrisy, and it is sin. I cannot be angry at your sin. Why? Because I'm guilty of the same thing. I can't be angry at anyone else. I can't be angry at a murderer who goes and kills somebody. Why? Because I have had the same hatred in my own heart. I am guilty of the same thing. Anger at anyone or anything except my own sin is sin. Be ye angry and sin not. Be angered at your sin. God created the emotion of anger. God is angry with the wicked every day. I am to be angry at my sin. My anger should cause me to fight my old man, my sinful flesh. Be ye angry and sin not. Do not be angry at anyone or anything or anyone else's sin. Thirdly, neither give place to the devil. I like this one. This one covers a great big scope of ground. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil in your Bible reading. Don't not read your Bible. You are giving place to the devil in your life. Neither give place to the devil in your prayer life. Don't stop praying. You are giving place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil with compromises. Don't swerve from the truth. Don't deviate from the truth. No matter how small, you're giving place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil during church time. Neither give place to the devil during Sunday and Wednesday. Don't give place to the devil. Neither give place in any area of life that requires faithfulness to God. Any area of life that you allow a little bit of unfaithfulness to the Lord in, you have given place to the devil. You've given place to the devil. I like that one. Covers a lot of ground. Neither give place to the devil. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. Take up that little fox. Capture that little fox. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. Steal no more. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You are a Christian. If you are born again, if you name the name of Christ, how dare you talk like the world? Jesus Christ would not talk like the world. Do not talk like the world. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Take up that little fox. And then it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Take up these foxes. Bitterness, it will spoil your vine, your relationship with Jesus Christ. It will ruin your communion with God. Take up that little fox of wrath and anger. Capture that fox. It seems insignificant now, but it will ruin your walk with the Lord. Take up the little fox of clamoring. That word means an outcry. I want to have the attention of people. I'm going to make a scene so that I get people's attention. Take up that little fox. Evil speaking, talking bad about someone. Not just bad language, but you know that person over there, he's a bad guy, she's a bad guy, she did such and such, he did such and such. Take up that little fox that spoils the vine. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. In other words, anything, any little sin that is damaging or detrimental to someone else and to your walk with the Lord grieves the Holy Spirit. Take up that fox. Take up that fox. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Not only do you need to capture the foxes, but you need to replace the foxes. Replace the foxes. Every person that removes something out of their life will replace it with something else. Every person that removes something from their life will replace it with something else. We can replace it with other bad behavior. We can replace it with permanent good behavior. We can replace it by temporary good behavior that degrades into poorer and poorer behavior. And obviously, the Lord Jesus wants us to replace our little foxes with permanent good behavior. We who are told to put off the old man will only keep him off if we give his place to someone else, our new man. Give the old man's place in your life to the new man. Turn and look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You'll notice the Apostle Paul didn't stop there. He didn't say, put off the old man and that's good enough. No. The Apostle Paul knew that we were going to replace our old man with something. So he gave us what we should replace it with. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Only by putting on this new man and allowing the new man to have control in our life are we going to keep that old man put off. You see, the Apostle Paul didn't say, stop lying. Stop being angry. Stop giving place to the devil. Stop stealing. Stop your bad language. He gave us something to replace it with. The Apostle Paul said, replace lying with speaking the truth. Replace lying with words of edification. Don't just stop lying. That's not good enough. You have to replace it with something of the new man. Replace it with something of the new man. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. He compares that with verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Neither give place to the devil by not grieving the Holy Spirit. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, and replace it with, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And replace it with verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We are to replace our old man's habits with the new man's habits. The fruit of the new man, and the fruit of the new man is synonymous with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. The tender grapes of the fruit of the new man. This is the precious fruit that is talked about. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the tender grapes. Our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what can be damaged, what will be ruined. Our crop will be ruined if we allow the little foxes into the vineyard. This precious fruit needs to be nourished and cultivated in order so that it will grow into a healthy harvest. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Turn back to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Your abiding, or shall I say, your abode with Jesus Christ, my abode with Jesus Christ, has tender grapes. They are not full grown yet. They're little tiny sprouts hanging on that vine. Those little tender grapes have the potential to either wither and die alongside your relationship to Christ as it withers and dies. Or those tender grapes can grow into a healthy cluster of spiritual fruit. John 15:4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And then later on he says, for without me ye can do nothing. It is only as we abide in Jesus Christ that those tender grapes can come to maturity. If we try in our own strength to live outside of Jesus Christ without his help, those tender grapes will die. The fruit of the Spirit will not grow in our life if we try to do it outside of Jesus Christ. It is only as we let Jesus Christ have control in our life, as we abide in him, that there is the nourishment for the fruit of the Holy Spirit to grow in our life. It needs to be nourished and cultivated. What is the key to doing this? Turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. How do I abide? How do I be sure that I am abiding with Jesus? How can I be sure that I am not letting something come between my Savior and my soul? How can I be sure that those tender grapes of spiritual fruit have the nourishment they need? Well, the key is found in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. The key, folks, is faithfulness in little things. Being faithful to God in little things. How do I know? How will I know if I'm abiding with Jesus Christ? if I am being faithful in every little thing that I know of. If I'm faithful in the little things, the Word of God says I will be faithful in the big things. The key is faithfulness in the little things. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 5. Well, how do I be faithful in little things? If that's the key, how do I do it? Ephesians chapter 5. There are two things that we have to do to be able to be faithful in the little things. Ephesians 5, verse 8 through 10. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Notice verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. How do I be faithful in the little things? First of all, I'm going to have to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. I'm going to have to take the Word of God and place it up against every action and every behavior that I could do. I feel like I should be mad in this situation. What does the Word of God say? Well, the Word of God says, be ye angry and sin not. Don't be angry at people. Don't be angry at situations. Don't be angry at other people's sins. I don't have the right to be angry in this situation. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Judge your outward actions and your behavior through the filter of God's Word. I need to judge my actions and my behavior through the filter of God's Word. That is the first step to being faithful in little things. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The second thing is found in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. If I'm going to be faithful in little things, I am going to have to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. And secondly, I am going to have to judge my thoughts as well. Not only my actions, not only my behavior, I am going to have to judge my thoughts. Are they acceptable unto the Lord? Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Judge your inward thoughts by God's Word. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. The vine of our relationship to Jesus Christ. What little fox do you allow in your life that is ruining your walk with the Savior? What little fox do you excuse? It's insignificant. It's just a little baby one. It's not going to do much damage. Which little fox do you excuse and you let grow? Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please.